The following podcast is brought to you exclusively by the Rad Rob Radio Network. Through the years, we all remember when we first witnessed a national tragedy.
Alabama wins!
We remember the good times and the bad times through either a song,
who's that?
A TV show, a monumental sports achievement.
For the first time in 86 years, the Red Sox have won baseball's World Championship. Can you believe it?
Or even the smell of a particular food from when we were young.
To all beef patties, special sauce, lettuce, cheese, pickles, onions, and a sesame seed bun.
Welcome to the show that will take you on a journey through time to relive those iconic moments. Welcome to RTW Rewind, where old school rules. So, without any further delay, let's introduce you to the host of the show, Rad Rob Rob Francois.
Hey guys, welcome back to RTW Rewind. This is the flagship show. It is episode number 203, and I am your host, Rad Rob Rob Francois. I hope everybody's doing well all around the world. And thank you for being here. Joining me, as always, is my co-host. He's been with me for the last 6 to 8 months, coming over from the previous show, RTW Main Event. He is the resident doctor of RTW and the second best bowler on this podcast. It is the one and only Dr. Ocho. Good evening, Och. What's going on, buddy?
This is technically our second show, right? The first one was more like a hodgepodge of an intro type thing, right?
That's correct. That's correct.
All right, good. I know how to count. Grad school paid off for me. So another thing I noticed is, you got the Michael Jackson song. That was, 88-ish, 87-ish, I guess, something like
85,
that.
85, dude. 85.
Bad?
Oh, bad, no. Bad Thriller was 85. Bad was, 88.
87, maybe?
Yeah.
I think 87. No, you're so right. Then you had right. 2 all-beef patties, special sauce, lettuce, cheese, pickles, onions on a sesame seed.
Like 78.
That was it. No, that was an 80s thing. It was early 80s. That's how it started. Because then they also had the tenderest, dippinest, no bone, pickinest, chickenest chicken there is. That was the Chicken McNuggets thing. And then they had that song in the 90s that we won't even go to. But then you had the A-Team, 82, 83-ish, somewhere around there.
Yeah.
And then you put the Red Sox winning the World Series for the first time ever from 2004 on your 80s intro show. What gives, Homer?
It's a rewind show. It's not RTW 80s or RTW in the 80s.
Pretty much what it is.
I mean, dude, 2004 is what? Almost 20 years ago. I mean, it's 18 years ago. That's
and the 80s are 40 years ago, and that's what this show's supposed to be. I like how you had to put like your own home twist.
I also put
the Mets winning in 86.
I'm not doing that. Maybe I'll put Al Michaels in, you know.
Do you believe in miracles? Yeah. And then the 2014 Red Sox. I got it.
I also put an
Al. I'm doing.
Did you catch a joke in the beginning though, where we all witnessed a national tragedy? Is Alabama wins? You understand that joke, right?
Of course,
Everybody hates Alabama, so I thought that was fucking funny. Like people are expecting JFK or fucking the space shuttle or whatever.
And I'm Challenger, like, right? Yeah. Of course. No. You a way to brighten up people's day.
Fuck
Rob.
Alabama. So, anyways, good to have you here, Och.
Thanks, pal. Christ.
Also joining us is the third member of the team. He is the best bowler on this podcast. He's also the best-looking man on this podcast, although I don't know what Ocho looks like because he's always had a mask on. Even when I vacationed in Ochoville, he never took the mask off.
It means I'm hot.
I tried to take it off, but he's a light sleeper. Yeah. What are we doing?
Introducing Johnny.
I feel like we're just back in old habits again.
No, that's you. I picked up something important. You just won't get the show going.
Joining us is the best button. No, I already did that part. Johnny Petraglia Jr., host of Johnny Petraglia Jr. Bowling Show. What's the name of the show? Straight Up Five?
Straight Up Five.
Straight Up Five with Johnny Petraglia Jr. Where can you find that podcast, Ojo?
Everywhere.
Literally. Anywhere.
All podcast platforms.
Yeah. I was cleaning out the gutters, and I found them.
What's up, Johnny? How you doing, buddy?
I'm good, man. This is, you always talk about our show being one of your favorites to do week in and week out. But I'm going to tell you, this one's quickly becoming my favorite because I'm kind of the fish out of water here. So I really like not being the bowling know-it-all. I like diving into things that I think I have a firm grasp on, like Van Damme and Seagal films.
Which is funny because
looking forward to shooting this shit with you guys.
Which is funny because Ocho knows nothing about them, and he's like the encyclopedia of stupid shit. So you would think Ocho would have some knowledge.
Wait, what's this topic about tonight that we're doing? I don't even know yet.
We are doing the history between Steven Seagal and Jean-Claude Van Damme, both martial artists from the 80s.
Irony.
Yeah. And, you know, I didn't realize they actually had heat with each other, but they had legit beef. So we're going to dive into that tonight. Johnny.
That's already more than I am, so I'm looking forward to learning about that.
Okay, well, did you watch all the movies in the 80s, Johnny? I mean, Seagal really became huge, like, in the mid to late 80s. So much so that, like, you know, I was in maybe 6th, 7th grade, and, like, we were all talking about it. Like, you know, when VHS tapes came around, we couldn't wait for stuff to get into to the video store so we could rent it. So we were just trading, you know, like, if people had HBO, we would just trade tapes back and forth. You're a little bit younger than me.
I take a look at what his filmography was, because maybe there's stuff I don't know.
By the way,
Johnny is on location this week, just a heads up there. He's traveling around. He's a world traveler, Arizona, I think it is.
And, he is. He's in beautiful Sedona.
He's an ambassador. Yeah. So he's got to probably do any speaking engagement, motivational type, exercise seminars, things like that.
And he's so dedicated.
Yes, my sincerest apologies about being on location, but hey, wouldn't miss it for the world. I'm even interrupting that time, which I know we're only audio on this podcast.
I mean, we can make a video if you just want to have that time right now. That's fine.
I think she's contemplating it right now. So,
all right,
we'll revisit that shortly. Right. She's about to step out for a smoke.
Right, we'll be back next week. So, we know Ocho hasn't watched the movies, but let me run down a list, Ocho. Let me run down the list of movies from Steven Seagal. And I guarantee you've probably seen at least 3 out of the 40 that he did. The first one to come out in 1988 was Above the Law. Does that ring a bell?
Kinda.
Yes.
The next one was Hard to Kill. Then Marked for Death. Out for Justice. Under Siege. Which was
I remember that one because I worked at a video store when that came out, and I got a shirt that had Under Siege on it for free.
And that was Tommy Lee Jones's comeback movie, pretty much. He'd been gone for a while, and
Thought The Patriot or The Fugitive was his. Oh, know what? That spawned on The Fugitive, I think.
Pretty much, yes. And then you get into On Deadly Ground, Under Siege 2, Executive Decision, The Glimmer Man. He kind of faded off in the early 2000s.
I was just going to say, those were the fade-off years.
Pretty much.
What was the one where he was in where he sees the bumper sticker and says, kill him now, let God sort him out later. Please let me run. And then he goes, yo, fuck nuts. Does anybody know why Richie did Bobby Lupo? What movie was that? That's the only thing I know. Did I just kill the movie?
See, now,
I think that's Above the Law.
It might have been.
There you go. I'm out for the rest
pretty
of the show.
Pretty positive.
That's it.
Who doesn't know that quote?
No, apparently I didn't. excuse me. I am always under the weather, so excuse my voice and I excuse Johnny's audio and excuse Ocho's just dipshit
lack of knowledge.
Yeah. Alright, let's get to Jean-Claude Van Damme real quick, Ocho, and see if you heard any of these. I'm not gonna go to the early stuff because he actually started in like 1979.
Oh, did he?
Yes. Which
what the fuck?
I think you could start off around like say well, go ahead. You can read your list, but I got like 4. He was my all time favorite growing up.
He actually played a minor role in 84. He really didn't get his big break until Bloodsport, which is you know the one that most people know him from, which was in 1988, and played in Black Eagle. After that, Cyborg. I do remember because he played like this badass like heel character that was like half human, half cyborg. It was kind of really cool.
It's a clever name,
right? Kickboxer was in 1989. That's another big film that he had. Lionheart, Death Warrant were both in 1990. Double Impact was in 91. 92 was Universal Soldier and Nowhere to Run. He was also in Last Action Hero as a cameo. And then he had a feature film, Hard Target. 94 was Time Cop and Street Fighter. He played Guile in the Street Fighter movie. 95 was Sudden Death and The Quest. 96 was Maximum Risk. Risk. Sorry, not Max Risk. That would be a bowling topic. 97 was Double Team. Then there's Knockoff, Legionnaire, Universal Soldier, The Return, Inferno. He just kind of lost steam. So he had
also died off.
I did see Kickboxer because as soon as you said that, I just went to the old Wikipedia page.
Yep.
That's the one where his brother. Ah, I can get in.
Yes. So first question is, do you remember the enemy or the bad guy's name in that one?
I don't know. Didn't he have the ponytail thing? Like, yep. He like Killer Khan sure did from WWF way back in the, you know what you just remind me of? You remember when he was in that movie? That's awesome. All right, my bad. What was his
Tong
name?
Tong Po.
He was a dish. He was number 7 on the freaking menu.
Absolutely.
Wow.
We
thought that was badass back then.
Yes.
I'd still be scared to death today if Tong Po wanted to fight me.
Tong Po.
Especially in the ancient ways in the old underground tomb.
Yeah. No, he's right. It was
with hands covered in broken glass.
Tong the Tiger Po. That was his character name. So, yes.
He's the descendant of Edgar Allan, actually.
No E on the end of Tong. On the end of Po.
So, the running...
Like in Edgar Allan. No E on the end of Tong. Po.
So, the running rumor going around was that Jean-Claude Van Damme, or Van Damme, I'm going to call him Van Damme because it's just easier for me to say, that he was not a kickboxer, he wasn't a martial artist, he was actually just a gymnast with, you know, really good athletic ability. But that was debunked once the internet came out. He kind of kept it a secret early on in his career, but, you know, once the internet came out, you had shoot interviews like we have in wrestling and stuff like that where it's just a straight-up interview and you ask about their life. He learned the martial arts very, very early on, in the early 70s. He joined the Centre National de Karate in Belgium. He trained for 4 years under spot on the Belgian karate team. He later trained in full contact karate and kickboxing with Dominique Valera. At the age of 15, Van Damme started his competitive karate career in Belgium from 76 to 1980. Van Damme compiled a record of 44 victories and 4 defeats in tournaments and non-tournaments. In semi-contact matches, so he was legit. It doesn't mention anything about black belts or anything like that, but he was a competitive martial artist overseas, which I never knew that. And like I said, the running rumor was he's just an actor. He's just a gymnast because he did the splits and all that shit, which a lot of people didn't do back then. But once the internet came out and he started doing interviews, we learned a lot more about him. Johnny, what's the first movie you remember watching of Van Damme's?
I would say definitely for me it was Bloodsport, because at that time my dad was very, very into fighting, martial arts. As you guys may or may not know, my dad had a karate school. I may have mentioned that.
You mentioned he was a black belt in karate. I didn't know he had a school.
Yeah, when he had flown over to Japan when he was still flying for the Japan Cup. Earlier on in his career, he met his sensei out there. Sensei had moved back here with dad, and they opened a dojo together. But at that time, I was involved in martial arts too, so I started really enjoying these movies at that time, late 80s, early 90s, when I was like 6 to 10 years old. And dad said that, well, you have to watch this martial arts movie. This is the story of Frank Dukes, one of like the most historic fighters of all time.
Yeah.
So that was based off of like the true story of Frank Dukes, and at the end they give you all of his records and like fastest knockout, wins, yada yada yada. And so I got into Bloodsport first, so then obviously I followed it with Kickboxer. Those are my two favorites when I was really, really young. But aside from like the full-blown karate end of the Van Damme movies, I distinctly remember watching, I couldn't get enough of the original Universal Soldier and yes. Double Impact.
Yes.
Because in Double Impact in 91, you got to remember, he played himself and his twin brother.
Right.
In that movie. So one was kind of dorky and one was badass with slick back hair. And I thought it was pretty cool in the early 90s because you didn't see a ton of films where you would see, you know, them pasting the image of that exact actor in the same frame.
Yeah, you know? Well, there was no CGI either. They had to do it. They had to cut them different ways and put them in. They'd actually had to do both parts, and then, like, there was a splice or whatever. I mean, wasn't true Photoshop. I know that.
Right.
Correct. Universal Soldier was really good, too. He starred with Dolph Lundgren in that one. But I do remember. I do remember watching that. I think it was, like, 16 when that came out in 92. Ocho, do you remember Kickboxer at all?
Kickboxer, yes. That's the one I do remember. The Chinese food guy. Didn't he like throw in a towel to get the fight to stop? And then like the dude, Tiberius Kung Po, starts kicking the towel out the ring and then still beats the bejesus out. Like when Andre used to get caught up in the ropes, it was something like that. And then he just wails him in the ribs and in the face. And I don't know. They get booed out of the ring and run and he's in the stretcher. And then I kind of remember Redemption at some point. Did I just spoil it?
Yeah, spoiler alert.
If you asked me.
If you guys
but so that's specifically the beginning is what I remember. And that's pretty much it.
That's fair. No, that's fair. Let's run down.
How about Bloodsport?
Oh yes, Bloodsport. Kumite.
I just remember them putting the hands in like the glue and then the glass because Hot Shots Part Deux put them in caramel and then M&M's.
That's true. That's true. You are right about
that. Now that's a movie.
Oh yeah, Charlie Sheen.
Bloodsport was pretty graphic, really graphic. That's all I remember, you know, saw as a kid. It kind of scared me a little bit because, like, Kung Pao was really, whatever the fuck his name was, really, was a really
Chong
scary.
Chong Li. In Bloodsport?
Yes.
Yeah. It was Chong Li.
Tong Li, Kung Po, General Chong. Sao. Chong Li.
And Tong Po?
Dude, Chong you're Li. Getting, are you going to get any of the characters right?
Probably not.
Like, no, we're doing a freaking recap of Seagal and Van Damme, and you haven't gotten one name right yet, except for Seagal and Van Damme.
They all look alike to me, so. Anyways.
Movie, well, that's racist.
No, that's not. No, it's true. They all look alike to me. I have very poor vision, so. Steven Seagal.
Speaking of Steven Seagal, we should make an actual tally of the amount of times he actually uses a martial arts kick in his films.
That's true.
As opposed to using just his hands. Because in all the films I've ever seen him in, I don't think I've ever seen him throw a single kick. And that's why I always liked him.
If you've seen, like, even his videos nowadays where he can barely move, it's like a throat chop that wouldn't stop a fly, but, like, the dude goes down like he got shot every time they demonstrate. So maybe he's got, like, magnetic powers off his fingers or something where people repel.
Have you seen his hair now?
Up. His beard is like a 10-year-old with his how jet black his freaking hair and beard is.
He was born he was born in 52, so that makes him
maybe he's got a Just for Men freaking like lifetime supply or something. Maybe that was part of the Born to Kill or whatever movie he was in.
He's definitely above the law.
That's what you did there. Steven Seagal moved to Japan at some point between 71 and 73. He's never been very forthcoming as to when that was. But he started working out there in a dojo and eventually became trained in Aikido, which might have something to do with the fact that he hasn't thrown a kick. Maybe it's a lot of pressure points. It's a lot of defense. Obviously throw punches, as we mentioned before. So I don't know if a lot of kicking is involved in that. Maybe, Ocho, what do you know about Aikido?
It's famous technically, but there was a rumor that Seagal taught, Lyoto Machida, the kick that he used to knock out Randy Couture, and that Anderson Silva used the kick against, the juice head, Belfort, Vitor Belfort. And the problem is I don't think anybody has refuted it, but I also don't know how anybody's proved it either.
That's true.
So it's almost like so much of Seagal is urban legend that And now with his videos, they're so bad.
They're bad.
It's almost like he's refuting it itself. I honestly, but I know it's an official thing. It's a real thing. It's not like he made it up. Like it's like Seagalism or something like that. Aikido is an actual form of martial arts, but I don't really know.
Typically about Aikido and jujitsu worked hand in hand. Aikido and the jujitsus were kind of where I guess the leg end comes into it, but I would assume
there were holds and whatnot and like grips. Correct. And
yes. He's in a lot of defensive stuff, you know, grabbing somebody between the thumb and the index finger, and just squeezing and just, you know, just twisting the wrist and just, you know, putting.
That's also a way to get rid of a headache too.
Well, that's also
depending on how much you push.
Well, you're a doctor, so I mean, yeah. that's true. The rumor is that he started his own dojo in Japan, and the locals there did not want an outsider teaching Aikido, so. The rumor is, and this I can't find it anywhere. There's no proof to it. He's never really talked about it, but apparently he fought off like 10 or 15 locals because they tried to run him out of Japan, and apparently he whipped all their asses. But that was always the story going around, you know, during that time. I don't know if it's true, but again,
I hope that's true.
Yeah. He's a giant SNL skit right now, dude. That's the thing. Like it's like this SNL skit, which has been done. It was the John Goodman, and they're these ninjas, and they're like, okay, guys, and they're wearing their black, and they go, what we got to do is attack. And he's got a chalkboard, and it says it's got all of them in a circle, and the arrows put into the main guy in the middle, and says we should all attack at once, not wait while the other guy's getting beat up. And then they go, now we're gonna take this. Let's go beat up a guy right now. And they show this karate movie where there's a dude in white and he kicks the shit out of 20 people dressed in black one by one. And I'm picturing that going on with Seagal the way he would tell the story. So I'm bringing nothing, but like this is literally how I picture it. Because you just said the same thing. It can't be refuted, but there's no evidence that it happened either. So like it's such an imagination of whatever you want. So I guess that's what we're doing today. Well, at least I'm doing it.
Correct. But that is actually hilarious. So let me run down a little bit of the feud. It actually started on the Arsenio Hall show, if you guys remember that, in the late 80s. Arsenio Hall had a talk show on Fox late night. And Seagal was a guest. And Arsenio point blank asked him what he thought about Van Damme. And here's what he had to say.
Uh-oh.
Since you've been here last for Hard to Kill, we've had a lot of action adventure stars popping out of the woodwork. Do you go watch the other guys? What do you think of Jeff Speakman or Van Damme? You know, do you know Van Damme?
No.
you've heard of him?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Let's start with him, Steven. What do you think of his work? As a martial artist first.
Can I change the subject?
Well, I mean, because like you guys go back to the martial arts world before you were movie stars, right? I mean, he was like a champion somewhere, and right, I mean, you.
Well, I mean, I just promised all my mentors that I was going to be a good boy.
Mm-hmm.
I think that that's a matter of opinion that he was a champion anywhere. You know? And I mean, you know, I'm not being catty or anything. I wish the guy all the best. But there are an awful lot of people who say that that's not true.
How about Jeff Speakman? Nice guy, huh?
I was very good friends with his teacher. You know, Ed Park was a good friend of mine. And he seems like a real good guy, this kid. I've never met him, but he seems like a good kid.
Who's the most legitimate Hollywood tough guy, in your opinion? You accept it, of course.
When you say tough guy, do you mean martial artist or just tough guy?
I mean, Stephen, for real, if he was on the street and there was a situation, you wanted this Hollywood guy by your side because he could defend himself. It's that hard to think of a legit one?
Can you think of one?
Michael Jai White.
Can I laugh in your face?
Really?
Yes.
Thoughts on Jean-Claude Van Damme?
Can I laugh in your face?
Chuck Norris?
I mean, Chuck is in his mid-70s. He's probably 76 years old, okay? 75, 76 years old.
Interesting.
So I don't know. I've heard that he's not, you know. So, I mean, I don't really want to get into, on film anyway, you know, who's a tough guy. Do I think Michael is a tough guy? No. Do I think he's a martial artist? No. Do I think Jean-Claude's a tough guy or martial artist? No.
That's where I saw Jean-Claude Van Damme. Is that true? He got in a fight with you?
No. It'd be like me squashing an ant.
I don't remember where. I don't know if it was the Inquirer, but I remember reading something about that.
Come on.
You Larry?
Oh, he said he did like a spinning double kick.
It's like one in front of his. If he sees me, he runs.
Well, he said that he whoops some Aikido ass or something. I don't know.
Come on.
So apparently,
wow.
Yeah, he's kind of an asshole.
Is he
telling the truth?
One of the movies.
Right. Is he telling the truth? And the other guy, he said, that's the guy that was in that prison movie with like Kimbo Slice and everything. And like, he's jacked. The other guy, Michael something, whatever.
Speaking?
No, the other Michael, guy, Michael Ian Black.
Yeah.
No, it's not Michael Ian Black. He was in the state. Highlight something or whatever his name was. Come on, help me out here.
I don't remember what he said, but I know who you're talking about.
But so that is him. That's all I'm trying to confirm.
Yes,
because I don't know what they consider martial artists, because usually martial arts are, you know, with like straight karate, they do so much kata that there isn't much fighting and it's true performance.
True,
which is why they called it an art. So I think he's wrong in that effect, because these guys can do the simulation, whether they can apply it, I don't know. But like, that's where he's already wrong, because that's what martial arts is. It's an art form. That's why the balance is so perfect, and that's why their punches are so strategic and they stop so quick. You know what I'm saying? Like, they're so accurate, which is also why fighting doesn't look like that in real life either, because it's just not realistic.
Right.
That's he's so dead wrong with that, but that's because he's probably a dick, like you said. But his opinion, I guess, is still whatever he wants it to be.
What do you think, Johnny?
I find it interesting that he, well, just based off what you said earlier about his pro record at 44-4.
Yeah.
So is Seagal not searching that information? Is that information false? Or
was it because it was like semi-contact or whatever? So, because you did say it was like
semi-contact. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So it wasn't full.
But I'm sure if there's a win-loss, it's not – I don't think it's a popularity contest. There's got to be scoring and criteria. Well, I mean, like, look, a bodybuilding show, no offense, is a beauty pageant, really.
Right.
There's no true point. The point system is still subjective. You know, it's whatever judges say, where, you know, it's a race. There's a definitive winner. The Rangers won last night. They scored more goals than the Penguins. So this semi-contact thing, maybe he does have a point with that. Go ahead. Told you I wasn't going to come contribute.
No, I mean, it's a dick move if he's discrediting somebody else because he's either ignorant or doesn't know or doesn't care or just thinks he's better than everybody else.
And what is his measuring culprit? How is he measuring it? Like, if he would have at least, that's why it's straight opinion. Like, if he could say something factually about someone not being a martial artist because, well, it turns out they only did 6 months of whatever, he might have a case, but he's not saying anything like that. He's just the, can I laugh in your face?
Yeah.
Which usually means you don't have an answer, and that's why you're... Because if you have something factual, dude, fucking blast it out, man. That only, you know, solidifies you.
Yeah, I'm curious to see what would have happened if somebody asked him about Bruce Lee.
I was just thinking the same thing. Is Bruce Lee not a martial artist because he learned karate? I mean... Yeah.
And his thing with Chuck was that he's 76 years old. He didn't.
Yeah.
Okay. Chuck in your prime.
Okay.
Okay. Now what?
Yeah. What would Chuck do against Steven Seagal in his prime? I mean,
we don't have Steven Seagal jokes that like nobody. Steven Seagal's calendar goes from March 31st to April 2nd because nobody fools Steven Seagal. No, they're all Chuck Norris shit.
I used to tell Chuck Norris jokes every day at work. So, like, one, you know, every day was a new joke and people loved it.
There was a picture of Chuck Norris on an iPhone and it said yes and yes. Instead of, you know, because yes and no, to answer it yes and answer it no. It was like, there's no button.
Dude, I love Chuck. We can get into Chuck, too, at some point in the show, because I was a big fan of his movies. Charles Bronson as well. Like, there's some 80s, like, just cult heroes. Also like Clint Eastwood. So there's a lot of stuff we can tap into.
Yeah, that's down the road, man. That's what this whole show is going to be about. Apparently that and 2004.
I swear to God, I'm never going to hear the end of that. So when we first heard him on the Arsenio Hall show, Arsenio was like, apparently he's a champion somewhere. And, you know, Steven said, oh, it's a matter of opinion if he's a champion. No, asshole. Like, he was a fucking champion in Belgium. So I just sound like he doesn't even fucking know or care to find out. Because he thought he was a shit. I mean, he looks like a smug fucking douchebag Italian from the 90s. I mean, that's just...
Yeah, I lost respect with Steven Seagal with the hair. So anything he says with that hair color now, I can't really get behind him. Plus, I watch a lot of Jay Cutler's nutrition videos and, like, weightlifting videos. And Cutler's got a few videos of him and Jean-Claude training at Gold's Gym Venice, like, 2 years ago.
Oh, he's still in great shape.
You could tell the Van Damme is getting a little frail as he gets older, but he's still in there lifting, and he's still in incredible shape. I know he's a smaller guy. He's got less to maintain and things along those lines, but he's still in fantastic shape.
So in 1994, Van Damme did an interview about when he actually met Steven at Planet Hollywood. And he said that Steven was a good guy, but he's too tense. He said, I saw him at Planet Hollywood, and I said, hey, Steven, you spoke bad about me on TV. Why? Van Damme said that Seagal only muttered something quietly and wouldn't answer properly. So Van Damme said, look, come on, I'm a nice guy. Am I a bad guy? You know, I shook his hand. He relaxed. He said, you know, it's okay if he wants to say things. It's not my problem. So Van Damme also said that Seagal was never in the best of shape physically, and he might need to up his game in other areas too. Because, I mean, look, Van Damme was built like a brick shithouse. The guy was actually ripped and jacked, and all Steven did was
kind of... And had the flexibility, too. I mean,
correct.
Putting on muscle inhibits your flexibility to a crazy degree because it shortens the muscle a lot because the muscles do grow, the tendons don't, so it contracts them a little bit. So that means you need even more stretching to accommodate for the muscle growth. I'm sure the guy was probably 170 or 180 pounds, probably. But he was shredded and could do splits and could flip. So he was a true athlete too. That's why gymnasts are so short too, and they're all jacked. You know, they right. they can.
Yeah,
but
then again, you know, I mean, like let's compare Seagal's size to say Dolph Lundgren, and Dolph Lundgren has always been in pristine condition.
Yeah, and he's 6'5".
The maintenance 6'4". Of a Van Damme body is more like the maintenance of a Stallone body.
Right.
Yeah.
But either way,
still, he's not doing anything, though.
Frail, narrow shoulders. You always had a little bit extra around the midsection.
He got that keg belly now, man. Something, I don't know.
No shit.
Man, he must be drinking all them championship belts or championship cups that he won.
A lot of sake, maybe.
Probably so. So he also, Van Damme went on to say further that when I say he's not in good shape, well, you see him in Above the Law. He came on the screen playing a macho guy who fights in a suit. Women love that. Warner Brothers really promoted him. And the movie didn't do that well, but it became a cult classic. But he became a star on video, which, again, he is true. He's right about that because a lot of us were trading tapes when they came out in VHS, and they weren't real big blockbusters in the theaters. He thought Steven had charisma. But he's just very, very cocky and smug. Their second confrontation. Sorry, do you want to add something to that? Or?
Who are you talking to?
I heard one of you guys say something. Maybe.
Oh, no, I think that was you. I think that was your echo.
Okay.
I mean, again, you've. I don't know that anybody's ever said anything good about Seagal either. That's the other thing. You know, I'll take another SNL. They said he was literally the worst guest they ever had. Like, I mean, literally the worst guest that they ever had, and they won't even show his show anymore because of how bad he was. Just not between his, you know, mugging for the camera and down talking down to the cast, and like everybody that pitched him an idea, supposedly, if he didn't like it, he would say, God, that is stupid. You are so stupid. So the guy's just a dick all around.
And if, I mean, just look at the way his mannerisms that he talked to, you know, when he's on Arsenio, just sit there with a blank look on his face. He didn't want to say anything, he didn't want to speak out of school, but you can tell, like, he's just arrogant and he's smug.
Almost like Arsenio Hall went off script or something right, like that. Yeah. And he was just like, we're not going down this road. Or
it's that thing, yeah, I don't want to talk about it. He just kind of sat there with a blank look on his face and smiled. Yeah. And like, I mean,
I'll just do nothing for now.
Right. So the second meetup between those two was in 1997. Van Damme was tired of Seagal's claiming that he could kick his ass. So he offered Seagal a chance to fight him outside in his backyard. Steven made excuses and left. So for whatever reason, he was there at a party, which is kind of weird that he'd show up. But Van Damme went after him. Like, Van Damme was legit pissed and tracked him down later on that night in a nightclub and said,
imagine the party you're at where you almost get to see those two freaking.
Can you imagine that?
Right. He didn't, but like, yeah, it's like, yeah, I was out at this club last night. Oh, really? How was it? Did you get any girls? No, but I saw Van Damme run up to Steven Seagal. Like,
I'm envisioning that party. It's like the greatest party.
That's never going to happen to me, and I want that to happen to me. I wouldn't need anything else.
Absolutely.
Another
great match that I would love to see randomly would be like, shit, I just had it.
Who's the guy from Rush Hour? What's his name again?
Oh, Jackie Chan.
Oh, yeah, like a Jackie Chan. A
Jackie Chan and Steven Seagal.
Put him against, it'd be like Jet funny. Or something like that.
Yeah.
I would have really liked to have seen, like, Bruce Lee and Jean-Claude Van Damme spar, just because they're two completely different arts.
Right.
But they both mesh very well when you stick them together in a ring, at least looks-wise. It's very fast, very, very quick hands, very, very sturdy brain, very... They're both very, very, they're pretty arts, kung fu and taekwondo.
I mean, they go so fast it breaks the wind in the air. Like,
yeah,
their voices don't line up or nothing.
Oh, Jesus Christ! So later on the night, he found him in a nightclub, and Sylvester Stallone was there as well. Stallone had noted that Van Damme was too strong, and Seagal wanted none of it. So Van Damme got pissed, went after him, challenged him to a fight again, and for the second time, Seagal didn't want to partake in it. Now, let me ask you this from a psychology standpoint, Ocho. Do you think
he was answer it too?
Okay. Do you think he was just legit afraid of Van Damme, or maybe he thought Van Damme could kick his ass and he didn't want to ruin his reputation as being like the baddest fucking dude on the planet? Like,
well, at that point, he's got everything to lose too, because you talk the smack, mm-hmm. you know, you talk noise, and then you. And he's going to use the defense of like, I'm not going to showcase my skills in front of just some, I don't know what he
said. Or I don't want to kill him or
like,
some shit like
it's that. Always his, right. I did him a favor. And
right.
Like Colby and like George Masvidal, like Colby wasn't going to fight Masvidal, who attacked Colby, because he's like, I just beat him up anyway. And we do it for money. Why am I going to do it for free? But they didn't have a sanctioned sport back then, really, with, you know, actors fighting. Right. So I think, you know, he had everything to lose. So nothing to gain.
What do you think?
He'd already talked a bunch of shit.
Right. What do you think, Johnny?
I think that based off just like the little clips that you just showed of his overall personality, I think that some people truly believe that they are the greatest and know in their own brains that they are the greatest. They don't subject themselves to something so idiotic in their own brain. And it's psychology standpoint, it kind of speaks to me that even if he is afraid, I think he's riding the wave of, I know I'm better than him and I'm not going to subject myself
to. Don't have to prove it. He's not worth it. Yes, he's not worth it. Exactly.
I think it's also kind of the reason why he left this country to a country like Japan. You know, people are, I don't want to get into that, but like they're a little bit more studious. They're a little bit more structured.
Correct.
And they certainly have pretty badass, you know, schooling throughout their lives out there. And I guess he kind of likes that structure, that lifestyle. It's consistent with not wanting to have a backyard brawl to prove a point.
Right.
Maybe
right.
He's great at math and we don't even know it.
Could be.
Maybe so. So Van Damme said in a 2010 French interview, it was a beautiful house that we were at. It was actually Stallone's house. He said he had beautiful furniture. We didn't want to ruin the house. But he was a little pissed at Steven, and he asked him to go outside. So we don't want to fuck up your living room. If you got something to say, say it to my face. We'll fucking, you know, like men, go outside and we'll fucking, you know, we'll hash it out.
Sly's got to have like a little wiffle ball field that's big enough to hold a fight, at least, right? I mean, you know, you got to.
You would think
right?
So. Yeah, you would think so. It's
something.
He literally said, "I waited 2 hours and he never came." And then I found out that he left, so I went after him. When I saw Seagal has a different viewpoint from what happened. Seagal said that he approached me. He was drooling, foaming at the mouth, and he said something to me. And I just said back to him, "When you're sober, if that day ever comes, come say shit to me. I don't care how small you are or how girly you are. It won't matter." So it's he said, she said, right?
Wait, did he said that as if that was a compliment? I don't care how small right, yeah. you are or how girly. Like you. Yeah. Like,
I don't know.
That's actually kind of funny, man.
It is kind of funny. But, you know, he thought, he claims that Van Damme was drunk and just being a fucking dipshit and he didn't want to hurt him or anybody else to get hurt, so he fucking bounced. And then Van Damme followed him. So, I mean, yeah, go ahead, Johnny.
Who do you guys think wins in a fight in their prime and now?
Van Damme now, easily.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. You said Seagal's he's kind of frail, right?
Seagal's so. Seagal's such a wild card because it could be true fantasy, everything that we know about him. And it might be that he doesn't know jack shit, but it could be real.
That's because fair. I mean, even he's the had stuff no... that's
on YouTube is right. so awful. It's like we have no evidence, but it's kind of like it's more scary. Like the guy going, "I'm going to kill you." It's way more scary when the guy is like, "Dude, I'm going to freaking kill you in 5, 4, 3. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like, you're like, "All right, I'm going to get the fuck out of here." Now.
He had a very intimidating presence, Seagal did at the time. And, you know, their movies are completely different, obviously. And, you know.
Yeah, Seagal had guns and whatnot in most of them, yeah. right? Like, he was, yeah.
Yeah.
Now,
definitely.
If Van Damme was a champion in Belgium, what the fuck was Seagal a champion of, right? Like, there's no proof.
Belgian waffles ever, now. Look right. at him. Jesus Christ.
But there's hair dye.
Hair dye.
And just for men.
There's no proof that Seagal ever competed for anything. There's no proof that he even got certified black belt in Japan. So, I mean, there's nothing on record that shows that, you know, he could learn some moves in a movie, you know, for a movie or whatever, when it's just boom, 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 boom. But do we really know if Seagal can fight, or was it just him putting that fucking image of himself out there?
Is he Andy Kaufman? Like, is he really? Maybe. Is everything a gimmick? Is everything a work shoot? Like, maybe
it's possible.
This guy has worked himself into. I hate using these stupid insider terms, but like Andy Kaufman, they didn't know he was dead when he was dead. They were like, "Nah, he's ribbing us. Right, he's just pulling a fast one."
Yeah.
Could this whole thing, after 30 something years, and then 40, and then finally Seagal one day just scrubs off the dye and goes, gotcha. I've been a fat shit my whole life. I don't know one thing. You think poking somebody in the throat with your fingers really going to do anything?
Right.
Like, dude, like, I swear to God, it could be the ultimate rip. Gotcha.
Any star can win a fight in a fucking movie, but what proof do we have outside of the movies that he can fight? That's all I'm asking.
Eddie right? Murphy's like, "I'm 5'10", 165 pounds. I ain't kicking anybody's ass. But you put me to movie star,
I'm going to whoop your ass. That's right.
That's right.
What do you think of that, Johnny? Do you think maybe it's just a facade that he put out over these years? I mean, there's no legit proof he's a fighter.
Don't get me wrong, but like, there's potential.
No, I get it. I'm saying that's a legitimate question.
You broke up. What was the question?
Do you think Seagal really was that badass or trained in Aikido, or did he just learn how to do some shit for some movies and look good? I mean, we have no record of him fighting anywhere.
I do. I think that he had somewhat of a background in it. Or he's just one of the best martial arts actors ever.
That's right. That's what I'm saying.
So, but like that's like saying, you know, like I have a beautiful baseball swing. I've always had a beautiful baseball swing. I haven't swung a baseball bat in 15 years. But if I went to the cage and you filmed me from the side and you gave it to a scout, they would say, "This kid knows how to play ball."
Right.
Now, I can't play at the professional level. I wouldn't go try and hit in the home run derby against Mike Trout. But with time and practice and, you know, dedication to that one trade for the rest of my life, yeah, I'm going to get good at it, you know? So I don't necessarily think that Seagal had to step in a ring to prove his worth in the martial arts world. I mean,
you also aren't doing interviews.
I also think that he would fuck up somebody in a bar.
But you also aren't saying you would
learn for camera.
You also aren't saying you would do. You would be the best baseball player in the world, or you are the best baseball player in the world based on a picture of your swing either. So I mean, that's true. I mean, I get what you're saying, but there's a. Maybe he's still just fooling all of us.
Well, here's a question that somebody actually asked online on Quora.com. Is Steven Seagal really a martial arts expert? John Kahn, who was a stuntman, a stunt coordinator, said, no, he's a poser. I worked as a stuntman on Marked for Death and saw an insecure bully who liked to hurt people as a result of his disrespect and constant bragging. Grandmaster Gene LaBelle, which was a legit fucking badass, if you guys know anything about Gene LaBelle.
Judo Gene.
That's right. After being challenged by Seagal, choked him out cold on the set. So Judo Gene fucking put Steven Seagal to sleep.
I heard that. That's a legit thing?
Yes. Well, according to somebody who was there, yes. As for someone calling him out on his credentials, Grandmaster Bob Wall did that in an article in Black Belt magazine. When Seagal confronted him about it at a black tie dinner, Grandmaster Chuck Norris had to step in and keep Grandmaster Wall from killing him. If he's a master, then I'm a cocker spaniel. So,
I believe all of that.
Right? So that's just one opinion. Somebody also commented down below, says, so apparently he is a seventh Dan in Aikido. I guess that makes him a legitimate expert in Aikido anyway. But here's the catch, and I mean no disrespect to anyone practicing Aikido. I fully believe to each his own regarding martial arts. For the longest time, we've had many self-proclaimed experts, black belts, senseis, etc. Most of these people were never put to the test in a meaningful way. Most tournaments were licensed as karate and did some half-ass sparring with the point system. Many fakes and frauds capitalized on the lack of any true venue here in America to fight. There were a handful of guys from the older days that were proper tough guys like Gene LaBelle and some of the kickboxers. Many of the frauds love to focus on the mystic aspects of martial arts, things like chi or punching people without actually contacting them.
Right, like those are the katas and things like that, exactly.
Correct. So, again, he claims to be a seventh degree whatever it is in Aikido. I guess they don't do black belts or belts or anything like that. So, is there proof somewhere? Maybe, but a lot of people think that he was just an actor and a bully and a tough guy and a fucking arrogant prick that put out this false image of himself. So I guess there is a case for that. And in looking at the way he conducts himself and the way he presents himself, I actually believe that maybe he just fucking was the biggest actor in the world for a few years.
Wouldn't he got his ass kicked once, though?
Obviously, Gene LaBelle choked him out.
Right. But if he's such a dick, that's the other thing. Like, you'd think, like, somebody would just call him on his bluff, like you say, and put the stones to him, but
yep.
It only happened once in how many years? And it's not like the guy's, like, humbled himself at all.
At all. Yeah.
20 years.
Right. And that's what really sucks about the whole thing. Like, he's been a dick the whole fucking time, right? Like, whereas Van Damme is a legit nice guy from what everybody ever said about him. He never, never speaks out of school. He never showed like an angry side, you know, on camera or in interviews. He did a lot of charity work. He respects martial arts. So it's a tale of two different guys, right? So, they were both big stars in the '80s. And I thought it was funny when I was researching this set. I didn't really know that they actually had confrontations and had a beef with each other. I just figured, you know, they're both actors, they're both doing their own movies, they're both making a fuck ton of money. Why should there be any qualms or quarrels? But apparently there was. And if you ask me, my personal opinion, I think it just came from Steven Seagal's side, just being a prick about it and trying to avoid answering questions. And Van Damme's like, dude, what the fuck, man? I never said one bad word to you. What's your deal? And I guess it never really got resolved.
Well, they both died off at the same time as far as...
Pretty much, Yes.
Making kick-ass movies, or at least the times changed and those movies didn't do it anymore.
That's what it was, I think. Yeah, the we actually progressed. I don't mean like that, because the 80s shit is so bad, it's good. So yes, maybe agreed. they were tweeners.
That's true. Right. That is very true. So there's been a bunch of legal stuff involving Steven Seagal. So we're going to give you the whole picture. You guys can make up your own opinion about these guys, but there's been several lawsuits and allegations regarding Steven Seagal and his behavior. In the early 90s, in May 1991, during the filming of Out for Justice, Warner Brothers employees Ryan Malone, Nicole Sillinger, and Christine Keeve accused Seagal of sexual harassment. In return for remaining silent, they received about $50,000 each in an out-of-court settlement. Around the same time, at least four actresses claimed that Seagal had made sexual advances, typically during late-night casting sessions. In another incident, Jenny McCarthy also claimed that Seagal asked her to undress during an audition for Under Siege 2.
And his response was, "What's the big deal? You've done it in Playboy already." And she was like, "Okay, go buy the issue." Got pissed off about it or something.
Yes, that is correct. In 1995, he was charged with employment discrimination, sexual harassment, and breach of contract. Cheryl Schumann filed a case against Steven Seagal, accusing him of threatening and beating her during the filming of On Deadly Ground. In August 95, Los Angeles Superior Court Judge Hiroshi Fujisaki dismissed the case, calling the claims repetitive and unintelligible. In 2010, 23-year-old Caden Nguyen filed a lawsuit against Seagal in the Los Angeles County Superior Court, requesting more than $1 million in damages in her suit. She alleged that Seagal engaged in sexual harassment, the illegal trafficking of females for sex.
Whoa!
Right? Failure to prevent sexual harassment and wrongful termination. Obviously, Seagal denied the allegations, but his reality show, Steven Seagal Lawman, was suspended while his attorneys resolved the case. 3 months later, after the suit was filed, she withdrew her claim without explanation. 2011, Jesus Sanchez filed a lawsuit against Seagal over his part in a Maricopa County police raid with heavy weapons for suspicion of cockfighting. The incident was taped for Seagal's A&E reality show, Steven Seagal Lawman. He was seeking $100,000 for damages caused during the raid and a letter of apology from Seagal to his lawyers for the death of their family pet. That's a little out there. I mean, they're filming a show, I guess.
Was their family pet a
rooster? Right, yeah.
A rooster?
I have no idea. So anyway, 2017, there was another suit filed against him by Portia de Rossi. Accused Seagal of sexually harassing her during a movie audition. During that audition in his office, he told her how important it was to have chemistry off-screen before unzipping his pants. 2018, more sexual allegations.
Did they say when this happened? Because Portia came out in, I think, 2005-ish or 6-ish or something, right? Like with Ellen or maybe later. So, like,
I'm not sure when it happened, but she came out in 2017 and spoke about it. So I don't know,
right? So
actually happened.
What I mean, come out, like, obviously the closet is what I'm talking. Right. I didn't know come out with the lawsuit.
Anyway, there's just more. There's other stuff.
Still,
a lot of these were dropped or settled out of court. Nothing ever really went to trial. In 2020. The U.S.
They're all following the same pattern, though, Rob. Like, that's
no, absolutely.
Like,
no.
When did he move to Japan?
Early.
Get away from these freaking lawsuits, too. Smart.
He went to Japan early on when he was training. I don't think he ever went back. He actually has three residences here, Bosnia, and somewhere else. Like, he's a tri-citizenship, a triple citizenship around the world. But the FTC actually got involved. But I don't know what to do.
Mercenary.
I mean, maybe, right? I don't know. In 2020, the FTC went after him. They announced settled charges against him for failing to disclose payments he received for promoting an investment, an initial coin offering conducted by Bitcoin. Seagal was promised $250,000 in cash and $750,000 worth of tokens in exchange for his social media promotions, and a press release, which he wholeheartedly endorsed the ICO, which violated the anti-touting provisions of federal security laws without admitting or denying the SEC's findings, he agreed to pay $157,000 in disgorgement, representing the actual payments he received for his promotion. So he's had conflicts with stuntmen too. Kane Hodder, who played Jason in most of the Friday the 13th movies, had an issue with him. Gene LaBelle also had an issue with him intentionally hitting stuntmen during scenes. While serving as a stunt coordinator for Out for Justice, LaBelle got into an on-set altercation with Seagal over his mistreatment of some of the film's stunt performers. That's when he choked him out.
That's so great.
Looks like Ronda Rousey may have had a run-in with him, too. Like, he's got a history of just being a fucking bully, being a douchebag, and apparently being a philanderer and, you know, sexual misconduct. Which LaBelle...
I mean, that's the only time he actually touches somebody is when he's copping a feel, not in a fight.
Right. Gene LaBelle actually trained Ronda Rousey. So it's funny, when Seagal was asked about the incident, he denied that he got choked out, calling LaBelle a sick, pathological scumbag liar. The claim had garnered a heated response from LaBelle's trainee, Ronda Rousey, who said that Seagal was the one lying and declared, "If Steven ever says anything bad about Gene in my face, I'll make him crap his pants for a second time."
So he got choked out and
shit his pants. Yeah, apparently so. So, judging from all that and seeing the way he handles himself, he's a fucking asshole.
There isn't one good thing printed or in video.
Nothing. I can't find anything that says, "Oh, he's such a fucking great guy. He's a philanthropist. He's a fucking credit to society." Nothing. Nothing at all.
Good work.
No charity. No freaking I don't know.
He's an earthy guy. Like On Deadly Ground was pretty much like a. An earthy fucking propaganda movie where we need to fucking save the planet and recycle and all that fucking bullshit, right? So,
he needs to stop using all that hair product.
That's awesome. I have nothing for that. Well done, Ocho.
Rebelled.
So look, whether you like him or not, a lot of people like Steven Seagal's movies. A lot of people like Van Damme's movies. Obviously, Johnny was a big fan of Jean-Claude. And, you know, when it comes down to it, I guess it's all, you know, it's all preferential stuff, right? It's all what you like. Ocho, you know what I want you to do?
No.
Go back and watch a couple Seagal's, like, early movies, like Above the Law. Or
watch Mark for Death, dude.
Mark for Death, yeah. Decent movie. Seriously, no. And
with Screwface.
I should watch Above the Law because that's the one I think that was probably on when I first got cable all the time or something like
Marked that. Marked for Death, Oach.
Yeah.
Marked for Death.
You'll love that one.
And you should watch. You should watch
The Law.
Bloodsport.
Marked for Death and Above the Law, I'm going to go with.
All right.
Good two picks.
So I found a lot of the stuff interesting. I like digging into stuff and kind of finding out the nuts and bolts of what's going on.
Yeah,
so.
Knowing he's been sued 24 times sexual harassment discrimination.
He's such an upstanding citizen.
Jeez.
But Van Damme is clean. Clean as a whistle. Like, nobody ever...
He still looks good.
Still looks good. I can't find anything bad anyone's ever said about him. I'm looking at his semi-contact, light contact record, and... It's pretty remarkable. It really is. They list all of his wins, so they all are on record in Belgium, starting from 1976 all the way to 1980. So there you go. If you want to say who's the fucking badass, well, I mean, we have proof that Van Damme can fight somewhat, and we don't have proof that Steven Seagal can do anything except tickle people's throats.
Got it.
So, yeah.
What we got?
Johnny, appreciate you being here on location on your vacation. I know you
It's always a pleasure being here. Looking forward to having future chats about some other subjects.
Yeah. Next week, what are we going to do, Ouch? What do you want to talk about?
I don't know.
What's your Twitter?
I got an idea for you off camera.
Okay.
I mean, I have plenty of stuff down, but I didn't figure out what we're going to, because, I mean, Rob cancels every other day.
You're the brains of the operation, so I rely on you for the content for this show.
No, I'll get back to you. I got 14, 15, 18, 88 topics. But I also like the powwow because JP's got good stuff, too.
That's absolutely right.
Years of stuff we got.
Yes. Especially when you guys said you only spoke in movie quotes for how many years. Like, that just boggles my mind. I don't have the, I don't know, recall.
Friends.
No, I don't have the recall like you guys have for that. So, can you at least tell everybody where to find you on Twitter, Roach?
No. Eggs and grits.
God damn it. At the DROcho. JP, where are you at?
No self-respecting Southern makes instant grits. I take pride in my grits.
See, they can do this all
the time. At JPJunior07.
You can follow me at RadRobGaming. Ocho had the brilliant idea. Like, you got to tell them your Twitter handles in the beginning because no one's going to fucking listen to the end.
And you do a good job of that.
I always forget to do that. So,
did you buy them where Jack got his beans from his beanstalk?
No idea. Anyway, what you guys are I have no idea. What
conversations that we've had over the years. Matter of fact, we remember every conversation because all we had to do is recite the movie quotes.
True.
Can't triple stamp a double stamp.
Lloyd.
End the show, Rob.
You guys can follow the show on Twitter at RTW Brand. We'll be back next week for another edition of RTW Rewind. Right here on the... What the fuck was that? Something just fell off my wall. Right here in the Rad Rob Radio Network. We'll see you next week.
Thank you for listening to this episode of RTW Rewind. For all the latest news and announcements, please follow us on Twitter at RTW Brand. You can also follow Rad Rob at Rad Rob Gaming. You've been listening to RTW Rewind exclusively here on the Rad Rob Radio Network.